Let us pray. Gracious God, you love us as a mother loves her children. Let us know your love now as we reflect on the words of Scripture that we heard, so that we may share your love ever more fully today and every day. Amen. Well, it's a great joy and privilege for me to be with all of you today, to be back in this beautiful, light-filled space. And it is a real privilege for me to confirm these young people who have been preparing for today since September, and to receive into the Episcopal Church the adults who will come forward for reception. It's a joy to share a bit of Mother's Day, and to share with you in the life of the Diocese of Virginia and the wide Episcopal Church of which we are all a part. You are one of some 200 worshiping communities, churches and schools and retirement communities. Together, we are the Diocese of Virginia. I'm so grateful to you for being a faithful part of that wider community. Well, there was an in-between kind of a time. Jesus had ascended. He'd gone out with his friends as far as Bethany, and he was lifting up his hands, and as he was, the scripture tell us, he disappeared from them, he withdrew from them, and went to heaven. And the disciples who saw that rejoiced and returned to Jerusalem. Jesus had blessed them. They knew that they were blessed. And they were full of joy and thanksgiving. And then, shortly after, the anxiety began to set in a bit. Jesus had gone from them, as we celebrated on Thursday, the Feast of the Ascension, when he ascended into heaven. But the promised gift of the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. We'll remember that next Sunday. So there's this in-between time, between the time Jesus ascended and the time when his gift of the Spirit comes. One thing had ended, and a new thing had not yet begun. Life with Jesus while he was in the flesh had come to an end. But the new life with Jesus in the Spirit had not yet started. It was an in-between kind of time. And we have a lot of those in our lives, like the time between graduating high school and going to college, or graduating college and beginning a new job, or the time between getting engaged and getting married, between finding out you're pregnant and holding that baby in your arms for the first time, between selling a house and moving into the new house. There are more times like that, in between times in our lives, than we might want to admit. And emotions can be quite mixed in those times. We're filled with thanksgiving for what was and joy for what will yet be, but maybe also sad about what's over and what will never be again. There might be some grief as we miss college, as we miss the old house, as we wonder if we'll miss life as a single person, or if we'll miss the freedom we once had before children. In between times are a mess of feelings and hopes and fears, of wondering and waiting. So how do we live in times like that? What do we do when things are settled and in between? Sometimes we do exactly what the disciples of Jesus did after he ascended into heaven. We heard about that in the reading from the book of Acts this morning. Sometimes like them, the way they used to be. Jesus had hundreds of followers, men and women from all walks of life, but there was a unique focus on 12. By the time of the ascension, though, there were only 11, because Judas was no longer with them. So in that in-between time, between the ascension and Pentecost, the followers of Jesus decided that they needed to go back to the way things used to be. They decided to elect someone to join the ranks of the 11 so that there would be 12 again. They proposed two men, Justus and Matthias, and they drew straws, or at least the ancient equivalent of that, and they chose Matthias. It was probably very helpful to them at the time to do it, but that selection really didn't end up meaning very much. We never hear the name Matthias again in all of Scripture. We never hear of Justus again. In fact, the only ones among the 12 that we ever do hear of again are Peter and James and John. There's no harm in their doing things the way they'd always done them. Not that time. But there wasn't really a positive outcome either. Sometimes in in-between times, we fall back on doing things the way they've always been done. We fall back on old familiar patterns. Sometimes it doesn't do any harm. Sometimes it even helps and gives us great comfort. Sometimes perpetuating what used to be does do harm, or at least causes more stress and anxiety than is necessary. Expecting the new house to feel and function exactly like the old one, even though it's only half the size, that's a recipe for frustration. Expecting colleagues at a new job to engage with us in the same way that our friends did in college, well, that can lead to misunderstanding or even to inappropriate behavior. Well, now you, the people of St. Mary's as a congregation, you are in an in-between time. It began when Lucy Blanchard left. She left for all of the right reasons, but after having been your rector for scarcely a year, she turned out to be, in effect, a faithful interim priest after the 30-year tenure of your previous rector. Since her departure, Andrew Moore has served you well and served with you well, and Bob Hetherington has been a faithful part of the team, and they will continue to do so even after your new rector arrives. On Wednesday, you received the marvelous good news of the call of that new rector. Your search committee is excited about this call, and so are your bishops. David May is a fine priest. He's wise. He's experienced. He's loving. He's a great storyteller. And he has a wicked sense of humor. The only people who are not excited about his call are the people of Grace Church Kilmarnock, where David served for 12 years. They are lamenting today, even as you are rejoicing. But even with the announcement of your new rector, this in-between time continues, and it will continue. Not only until day-to-day arrives, but even beyond that, as you grow from knowing him as the new rector to loving him as your new rector, for knowing him as your beloved priest. That takes time. It takes time as you figuratively learn to dance new steps together, as you step on each other's toes from time to time, until you finally enjoy the new choreography of your life. sometimes doing things the way you've always done them will be a blessing and a grace. And sometimes trying to do things the old ways will just trip you up and keep you from going where the Holy Spirit is trying to lead you now. So keep trying to figure out when to act like the disciples who elected Matthias, when those times will be a blessing, and when trying to do the old things the old way will just get in the way. Do it by staying in conversation with each other, with Andrew, with Bob, with the vestry, with David when he gets here. And do it by remaining constant in prayer. If you haven't already done so, start praying today and every day for David, just as I hope you're already doing every day for Andrew and for Bob. Jesus prayed for his followers before he died, as we heard in the gospel reading today. What he prayed for them is still his prayer for you now. Holy Father, protect them in your name so that they may be one as we are one. Jesus desires for you to be one in this in-between time and all the time. He prays for you not to be the same, not to be alike, not even to be in complete agreement with each other all the time, but to be one in the midst of all of the differences. Jesus desires for you to be a body that holds together, a body in which love is known and shared, a body that makes room for people from all walks of life. Jesus prays for you, so that Jesus' own joy may be in you and be complete in you. God is with you in this in-between time. May you know God's presence, God's blessing, God's love, and God's joy right now and in every moment.